Well, I usually start with a joke, but I ran these by my son yesterday, and he said they were terrible. But I'm going to tell them anyway. So, what is the favorite Christmas carol in the desert? Camel, all ye faithful. What kind of music do elves listen to? Rap music. You know, Advent calendars should be an inspiration to all of us because they talk about hope and joy even though their days are numbered. I got one more. What do you call an elf who wins the lottery? Wealthy. Okay. You set the standard low and it makes it easier. So that's what I do. We've been talking during Advent about this passage from Luke chapter 2 about the angels appearing to the shepherds. It says, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And so we've been talking about this idea, and we've mentioned several times about the shepherds and this idea that they were kind of people of low status, and they were kind of the outcast, kind of people who weren't respected very much or trusted very much. Back in the day when I was between colleges, which means I dropped out for a little while, I worked trimming trees for this company that was contracted with Alabama Power. And so we cleared right-of-ways. And this was a job that paid decent, but it was dirty and it was hard, and between the power lines and the chainsaws and climbing trees, it was fairly dangerous. And so a lot of smart people didn't do it, kind of thing. And so I worked with these guys, and I was the only one who had finished high school. Bo was the foreman, and he was 27, and he had been married 4 times. He had a way with women, but not for very long, evidently. And Bo didn't read and write very well, and so I helped him do his paperwork because he was the foreman. Dusty was one of the other climbers, and he had just got out of the penitentiary. He didn't tell us, and we didn't ask. Dusty was not the kind of guy you asked what you were in the penitentiary for. And so that was two of them. And then John was another one of the climbers. And John was a country boy, and his claim to fame is that he had been to the national championship in New Orleans for cockfighting. And if you asked him, he had pictures in his wallet he would show you of his favorite chickens. That was John. And then there was me, who goes in well. And Mike was one of the, what we call the groundmen. They helped clean up the brush. Mike was 21 and had 3 kids. And Mike never had clean clothes, and he never had anything to eat for lunch. And then there was Bill. He was on probation for his second arrest for possession of drugs. And now I know some of y'all eat Spam, right? Go ahead, you can admit it. It's okay. Well, okay, for all you sophisticated people up here in Kentucky, it's with sardines. Remember the key you had and you rolled it down the side to open the can? Sardines for you fancy people, Spam for us people in Alabama. Well, Bill's car looked like it had one of those keys go down the side of it. It had a strip about this wide that had been ripped all the way out of the side of his car. And so I was thinking about this passage in these shepherds. And we used to, you know, at lunchtime we'd eat and we'd lay around on the ground and talk. And I thought about what it would be like for an angel to appear to these guys and to me. Because I think we're kind of like those shepherds. You know, none of us ever sat at the popular table in high school. Nobody expected us to do much. We were just kind of, and you know, these guys, for all their bravado and pretending not to care, they knew that they were the losers and the rejects. What would it be like for an angel to appear, to tell us a message, to pick us It would be unbelievable. It would be so far beyond our imagination that that could happen. And so if you think about those shepherds, that's kind of where they were. And remember, they lived in this place and in this time where their religion taught them that God was hard to get to. If you remember in the temple area, in the second temple there, during the time when Jesus was born, there were stages to God's presence. God lived in the Holy of Holies at the drum kit, you know. God, I don't know if he's a drummer or not. From stories I've heard, probably not. But God lived in the Holy of Holies. And the high priest was the only person who went into God's presence. And that was once a year. But just outside the Holy of Holies was the holy place. There was a veil between them, a barrier between them and God's presence. And in the holy place, the priest would go in every day. Some priest would be chosen to go in and to offer incense and to change the bread, do those kinds of things. And then there was another wall. And outside that wall was the courtyard of the priest. And that's where they would offer the daily sacrifices, the ordinary things. But only the priest could go there. And beyond that, there was another wall. And then you had the priest, the court of Israel. That's where the Jewish men could go. But only them, and only if they were clean. And then there was another wall. And outside that wall was the court of the women. And so Jewish women could go this close, but no closer. And then there was another wall. And outside that wall was the court of the Gentiles. And so if you weren't a Jew, but you kind of believed and wanted to be close by, you could come there. And then there was another wall. And outside that wall were all those who were unclean. And so there were all these barriers between them and God's presence. All of these walls that separated them. And the shepherds, they were way out there in the unclean court, where there was no chance they could ever cross all those barriers and get to God's presence. The good news of Christmas is that God crosses the barriers to us. He finds a way to be with us. You know, if you're a rule keeper, this story kind of gets on your nerves because God breaks all the rules. You see, Mary, she was a Jewish woman, and so she could kind of get close, but not that close. But when she gave birth, she became unclean. And according to Leviticus 12, for 40 days, she could not touch anything sacred. So for 40 days, God laid in the lap of an unclean woman. God breaks the rules to come to be with his people. When Jesus began his ministry, he made it clear that this was really what he meant. He said, you know, in me, the kingdom is coming. The good news will be preached to the poor. The blind will receive their sight. There will be liberty for the prisoner, and we will set the oppressed free. And people were excited, and they were amazed at the grace that was in his voice and in his words. But just like that, he said to them, it's not just for you. He said, remember back in the day that Elijah only went to a widow in Sidonia. And Elisha only healed a leper from Syria. Not Jewish people. People who were unclean. Who were way beyond the last barrier. Those are the people who received God's grace. And those people who heard him, who were amazed at the graciousness of his words, just like that, decided he needed to die. And it says they set out to kill him, to throw him off a cliff, but he escaped from their grasp. And he doesn't stop there. He goes on, and it says that he begins to heal the sick and to preach the gospel of the good news. And there is this leper who, if you're talking about barriers and walls, lepers are out there where the shepherds are. You can't touch them and worship. You can't come close because they are unclean. And this leper comes to him and he says, I know if you're willing, you can cleanse me. And you see, that was the test. That was the question. Is he willing? And Jesus, just like that, he says, I am willing. And he doesn't just heal the leper. He touches the leper. He takes his hand and he does what clean people, what good righteous people do not do. And he aligns himself with that which is unclean, and he heals the leper. At the end of that same chapter, he sees Levi sitting at his tax collector's booth. You know, and a tax collector is basically the same thing as a domestic terrorist. I mean, he's taking advantage of his people. He's destroying their lives. He's aligning himself with the Romans. He's doing all those nasty things that we don't think we should do. And Jesus stops. And of all the people he could pick, he picks Levi. He says, I want you to follow me. And the story says he goes to Levi's house and he has a party with Levi's friends. And the Pharisees, they say, a righteous person, they will not associate with tax collectors and sinners. And Jesus says, this is exactly why I came, to cross all of those barriers, because Levi was way out there with the shepherds, way out there with unclean people. And Jesus went to him, and he found him. In the next chapter, Jesus heals the son of a Roman centurion. This guy's not even Jewish. He's not even a believer. He's not even of their tribe. He's a Roman soldier. And Jesus not only heals his servant, but he says, there is no faith like this man's faith in all of Israel. Jesus affirms the faith of this fella way out beyond the barriers as one who understands him and knows him. At the end of that chapter, there's a story about Jesus being at a party that this Pharisee, a dinner that this Pharisee is giving. And this woman comes in and begins to wash his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair. And the Pharisee sitting around there, they say, you know, if this guy was a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this is. Everybody in town knows this woman. She has a reputation, and it is not good. She is the one that everybody knows is way out beyond the barriers. She is as unclean as she can be. And if he was really a prophet, he would know that. And Jesus said, I am a prophet. I know who she is. I know exactly who she is. She's the one I came for. That's what Christmas is about. A couple of chapters over, Jesus is walking along and this woman comes up behind him and she touches the hem of his garment and she's healed. She is an unclean woman. She has had, she's been bleeding for 12 years and nobody can heal her. And she comes up and she touches Jesus, which is a terrible thing to do, because now she has made him unclean, because she is unclean. And Jesus, he could have just kept going and nobody would have known. He could have acted like it didn't happen and nobody would judge him for it. But he intentionally stops and he calls her forth and he blesses her and he affirms her, because this is exactly what he has come for, that those who are out beyond the boundaries will discover the presence of God, will know that they are the ones who are chosen, that they are the ones that God came for. And so if we think about ourselves this morning, all of us, every one of us is chosen. God comes to us. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what's been done to you. Doesn't matter how far you feel you are. God crosses all the barriers. He climbs over all the walls in order to be present with us. That's why we celebrate. That's why we are so, the angel said this would be a message of great joy for all people. But it also says that that's how God views every other person as well. And that's the revolution part of this story. This is no meek and mild baby. This is one who comes to upset everything we know, who calls us to recognize the worth of every person we encounter, who calls us to embrace and reach out and share our joy with those around us. You know, it's a pretty good deal that this is an inclusive word, especially for us here in America, you know, especially for us white folk, because they wasn't none that back then. There was no promise made to Caucasians. We are those who were outside the boundary, who were way out there, who were not part of that original promise. But we have been grafted in. We've been picked to be part of this story that God is writing. God has chosen us to be included. And so we have the opportunity, we have the call and the challenge and the responsibility to be part of carrying that message to every person we meet. It's nice to sing Silent Night and Away in a Manger and to be comforted and to rejoice and celebrate. But we are also challenged to be the light of the world, to carry the message to others that this God who refused to stay in the Holy of Holies or in the holy place or in the court of the priest or the court of the Israel or the court of the women or the court of the Gentiles, who insisted on coming to us wherever we are, that's the God that we serve. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have found us where we are. And this morning, Father, you are still finding us. This morning, we all need to be found again. Forgive us, Father, for those times when we measured the barriers between us as too much. For those times when we felt like you would not come to us, that you would not be present. We ask, Father, that this Christmas you will remind us that you have drawn close, that you have found a way, that you've broken all the rules in order that we might be found. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in the Methodist Church, we celebrate an open communion. And so we're going to celebrate communion now, which... and